And there's the button. Hello, and welcome to the Cubicorn Games podcast. Got a small hiatus because people were super busy, but we're back with another show. A little bit, like, kinda. I mean,
yeah, we were busy.
Some people, yeah.
Yeah, we've been. It's been a little hectic, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Very hectic.
Yep. My name is Dustin Morbido. I'm joined by folks who are going to talk about video games, card games, and probably a bunch of other random stuff.
Here's hoping.
Yep. Seating order is a little different today. To my right, Lorraine Fariulo is here.
Blowing everyone's mind
this is
by
not
being
okay.
Metaphysically to an opposite direction.
You get to go last today.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have things to say, so
all right,
it'll be interesting.
That's fine.
Not really controversial. Just things.
Yep. Directly across from me, Phil McGrath is here.
Hiya.
The thumbs up. He's ready to go.
I'm giving you the thumbs up you can't see.
Yep. The digital thumbs up
or,
in the cloud.
Or the Zero Suit Samus thumbs down.
What about the baby?
Baby.
Yep. And my kinsman to my left, Adam Morbido is here. Mi hermano.
Yo.
How's it going?
What's up, internet? Hermano.
Yep.
You don't pronounce the H.
Yeah.
Hermano.
I don't speak much. I don't speak Spanish.
I speak solid 16 words of partially fluent Spanish.
3 years of Spanish.
Don't correct him when he's trying to say some endearing sentence about me. Leave your words
I'm making
words
it more
leave
correct
it
and endearing.
Factual.
I guess that's true.
And exactly.
Fun. Yep. Yeah.
Facts can be fun.
Yep. So Adam's here hanging out. We kind of just roped him in. We all ended up coming to hang out
in this undisclosed location.
Do stuff, and he's like, also, hey, you want to come hang out?
Mm-hmm.
So he's on the show now. You doing okay?
In the mid-Atlantic.
Kind of chilling? Good.
Our underwater basement base.
I'll let you up. So yeah, stuff's been crazy busy. Lorraine, do you want to go last? Do you want to go first anyway?
It doesn't matter to me. I really could go whenever.
All right. Oh, well, we've had a lot of stuff to talk about, so go ahead. Start.
Okay.
Let's get started. What have you been up to? How have things been going?
Making video games, for the most part.
Oh, yeah?
We had a big deadline 2 days ago on Wednesday for the IGF submissions for GDC, which is, like, the indie games. Like, I don't even know. What does the F even stand for?
Festival.
Even,
sure. Just an award show
thing.
Yeah,
it's an award show that happens at GDC, and Wednesday was the last day to submit a project.
Yeah.
And we submitted Wednesday. It's been, like, a basically almost month-long sprint of working on stuff and getting things in all one piece, because we've got a few other submissions coming up, and we're showing stuff off next week.
Yeah.
So, that's been rough. I've also been playing more Theater with Mia.
Yeah,
I'm at, like, a total of, like, 70 hours.
Nothing.
I can't believe you played that much of that game.
That is a lot for that type of game. But
I've been having fun, because I wanted to do all of the basic expert and ultimate scores on everything. I finally have unlocked, as of, like, yesterday, all the characters. And
it took 70 hours to unlock all of the characters.
I was going pretty slow, because I could have gone and done more of, like, the chaos map stuff, which gets you them, like, you can get maybe, like, 5 of a shard in one go, as opposed to 1 just, like, going through, like, the leveling up process of your arrhythmia. But I was just completing more songs and doing that. I also experimented with the online battling, which was kind of fun. It actually worked really well. Like,
that
I never
sounds like a terror just for, you know, it's so important to have the correct rhythm that any amount of lag would destroy you.
But it's all, like, you're not really communicating with them.
So, yeah, this is the thing, like, that I was talking to her about.
You're really just playing the song.
Yeah.
And, like, the only feedback you see from them is they're updating score. Like,
okay.
it does update slower than yours. It's noticeably, like,
right,
you could be doing the, like, you could be hitting all criticals and getting the same amount of points for each note, but theirs will update a little slower or a little faster sometimes, depending on where you are in the song, like, or whatever your connection speed is. And then you're also pushing, like item, like, hazards to them to, like, either, like, speed up their track or, like, buff the monster you're fighting or just attack your HP for, I think, however much of a chain they have. And, I mean, you get all the same power-ups.
That sounds kind of awesome, actually.
It's fun. I played a handful of people. I won, like, 11 or so.
Nice.
Out of maybe, like, that's probably, like, a half.
Nah. How does the, how does the matchmaking work? Like,
you can either send out, like, a request and someone will just come to you and you can accept it, or you can, like, there's, like, 3 spots that can fill up and you can just pick from there. But if you request it, you can set conditions like the type of score, so it'll only be, like, expert scores if you pick that. And you can pick international, or I guess domestic would just be the U.S., but I seem to have more luck with international.
Interesting.
Played a lot of Japanese people.
Yeah. Popular game.
Sure.
Mm.
like for glory mode.
Sure.
And it's just like, just play the title screen music. Different skins over it. It's just right. Like that little piano thing.
I'd do it.
It was a lot of fun, though, because I hadn't tried it out yet. I had done a little bit of the, like, AI battle mode, so I already kind of knew what to do, like, playing-wise. You can also play...
confused when everything started going faster.
Sure. I'm actually pretty good at when it's going faster, and I can, like, start right when it's going faster, I can actually do it pretty well. Because I've gotten actually pretty good at the ultimate scores, which is surprising, because I was doing pretty bad at them at the beginning.
Not to toot my own horn.
Exactly. I don't have a very high ranking, though, because I lost quite a few. You can't go under zero, though. I was really happy to see that.
Thank goodness. Everybody wins.
And then one of the other things I was telling Dustin on the way here was I was messing around with the different control schemes, too. Because there's just the stylus, which I feel is the best way to play that game. Because that's what I've been playing. But there's also, you can just use like the circle pad and buttons, where you move the circle pad for like the swipes and like the end part of the like hold and then release swipe. And then you use like any of the face buttons or L and R to do everything else, like all the time stuff, which that was okay. There's also hybrid, which is like stylus for tapping and then circle pad for this moving. And then there's one-handed, which is circle pad and L button, which I found to be the most awkward. And hybrid was really bad too. I still just like the stylus.
That's what it was designed for.
Yes. Still runs away.
Yep, people are... We may have small breaks as we keep recording this because folks are going to be coming in and out. Other people are coming in.
Cat break. Meow.
Cat break. Close enough. So anyway, how is... So, the arrhythmia still happening?
Yes.
Still fun?
Oh, yeah.
How much more do you think you're going to play it? Because the weird part... Like, it's not... I don't think it's weird that you would necessarily spend that much time total playing a game like that, but I would, like... Oh, it's been out for, like, 8 months. Maybe you logged 70 hours into it. It came out, like, a month ago.
I know.
You've really been...
Honestly, that's really been the one thing I've been playing. I'll play that at
night.
That's
true. Actually, I was
going
to say...
When I get home, like, just at the end of the... Like, I get home, I'll shower, and then I'll just go and play, like, maybe an hour or so of that a night.
Right.
And sometimes during the day, I'll generally like just pick up a little bit of Smash during the day.
It sounds like a lot when you say, I've played this game 70 hours in the last month and a half, but if you haven't played anything else,
yeah, I haven't. My 3DS has only been really Smash at occasion, because, I mean, like, there's only so much you can really do by yourself, and I'm getting to that point now where I kind of just, like...
Had enough laggy online matches.
I haven't even done any online matches. I haven't even bothered.
All challenge grinding.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yes.
You should play some online.
Yeah, maybe.
But
kind of not, like, I can't imagine you would ever want to play the online version of the 3DS game ever again once the Wii U one comes out.
Definitely.
Why would you even bother?
Unless you're, like, marooned somewhere and have Wi-Fi, but not the Wii U.
I only have internet in my 3DS.
Right.
Right, the only reason you'd want to play, like, 3DS multiplayer for the most part after that is just
local.
To pick up and, exactly, you're just wandering around and
you're
someone
the
else there happens to play,
settle it and smash.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's got your seat on the bus.
How dare you!
Could have all been resolved more easily if Rosa Parks had just had a copy of Smash Brothers for the 3DS.
I know, right? She could have just fought all those white people.
Big Mario and fuck some people.
I'm going back in time now, and that's what I'm doing.
Just go buy a bunch of 3DSs and Smash, give them to everyone on that bus, and be like, settle it and Smash. And just leave. Like, just teleport out of there.
I'm sure that'll work.
Yep.
Is Nintendo making the, like, those white GameCube controllers?
They're making new GameCube controllers.
They're making new GameCube controllers.
Is that always a thing, or they just started doing that?
They just started.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they've released any yet.
I think they just come out
stores,
the day the game comes
probably,
out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One fun fact that I did learn, one of the channels I watch on YouTube, he was able to get to some kind of special event. I'm not entirely sure, because he's got a video in the works that isn't out yet.
Right.
But he has confirmed you can put two GameCube adapters into one Wii U and play 8 that way.
So I don't have to use a Wii Mode.
Yeah, which was pretty cool, because my assumption when that was all out
was
that you either have to use like Wii Remotes or Classic Controllers or Pro Controllers.
Sure you could.
Yeah, I bet you can.
But
like,
why would you?
Yeah, the only viable use case would have been to use, like, I guess you could use the Pro Controllers. Pro Controllers probably.
Just for Smash.
Yeah, and then Classic Controllers would be okay.
Right.
Like, if you can just have 8 GameCube controllers, why not?
He did confirm that. I was pretty excited about that. It's Pro Jared. If you were interested, his video is going to be up probably in the near future.
Okay.
It's a lot of stuff coming off.
He's got, like, he's looking at, like, the 8-person Smash. event mode, and there was something else on there. I think it might have been the board game type mode
sure.
that he's got. He'll have, like, information on, so I'm pretty excited
Mewtwo
about that.
Mewtwo mode.
All Mewtwo. Everyone's Mewtwo.
Does anyone here know if the new GameCube controllers are going to have the same cord length as the white ones?
I bet they won't, but I don't know that that's been confirmed.
Don't say that to me. So bad.
Yeah, do you know if those were... Here's another thing I just don't know about those in general. Were the white ones an anomaly? Like, were those the only way that GameCube controllers were sold in Japan? Or was it just the white ones that had the long cords? Like, was every GameCube controller prior released in Japan? Did those have long cords as well?
No, when they made the white ones, those were the only ones that had the white cords. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped making all the others as soon as they started making those. And they still manufacture them
today,
I think.
Because they're obviously better. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they're still up on Amazon, at least, pretty consistently.
Yeah,
if nothing else.
I love the GameCube.
Even at their peak, they weren't much more than, like, $50 to import one here. Now I'm pretty sure you can get one for $35 or $40.
Yeah, I think I paid, like, we have two or three of them, and I paid about $30.
Yeah.
Like, $30, $235 for each of them.
I think we have five of them.
That's almost
eight. Somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We combine them
There's
all.
There's now a right, use case where you can need set. Five at one time.
I know. It's crazy.
And the levels are, like, big, too, right?
Yeah, there's
Grand
specific one.
Battlefield.
Great Cape Offensive.
I'm excited for 2v2v2, possibly.
Yeah, that's the that's the actual good use case for eight-player games, is, like, multiple teams of two.
And
that sounds amazing.
Multi-battle in Halo is, like, one of my favorite modes, just because I love teaming up with my brother, who was a god at Halo, and steamrolling people without trying.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. I can't wait. Yeah. So close. Less than a month.
Yep.
We're getting there.
Smash already came out for a system, and I'm already not... I don't even care. I'm just excited for the next one.
Mm-hmm. All the 3DS one did was get me hyped for the Wii U one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say whoever it was in Nintendo's marketing department that orchestrated the whole, like, the overall scope of the Smash Brothers releases, like, that dude or lady deserves a fucking raise.
Well, that was...
Because it was... like an expertly planned, like,
one
we're
going to
release the 3DS version and we're
going to
market the shit out of it. We're still not going to talk about the Wii U version's release up until the game is out on 3DS. Then as soon as it's out, we'll state that the Wii U version is still coming out this year, and then immediately follow up, well, like, a week or two later with, here's 20 different reasons why the version you just bought is horseshit and you should come out and buy it again.
But, and then they dropped the Mewtwo thing where it's like, you need both of them to get this character.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, you need to
register them.
I think it's registering both of them, and then you get the it's only for having both copies.
Mm. Yep.
I still haven't technically bought the 3DS one. I'm sharing one with Kyle, so...
You have a Mewtwo between you two.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what... And Lorraine was saying she was gonna... like, otherwise, we obviously would have gotten one Wii U version between the two of us, but Lorraine was saying she might get one just so she can get Mewtwo on the 3DS.
Nintendo, you sly devil.
Yeah.
Yep.
I knew as soon as they announced that they were going to have two different versions, I was like, most nerds are going to buy both.
Yeah.
I'm planning on it at some point.
And now they've basically locked it in.
Yep.
That's still cool, though. Especially, at least they have the soundtracks and stuff. That's really neat.
Yeah, that's another
Club
reason
Nintendo.
Why I'm kind of interested in getting both of them. Mm-hmm. I like me some soundtracks.
Yep.
Kyle were here, he would echo that opinion loudly. Loudly!
Mm-hmm. I still would like to see on a shelf, the discs, if they release the entire Smash Brothers Wii U soundtrack.
How
many volumes?
Yeah.
How many CDs? Fill every landfill with Smash Brothers soundtrack discs.
Right next to the E.T. Atari discs, or Atari cassettes.
Yeah, they could just sell them by the spool, like, pre-burns. Just like, here's your stack of 50 discs that is the Smash Brothers Wii U soundtrack. When's the last time you, like, put a CD into a thing? Like, a blank CD to burn it?
My laptop now doesn't have a disk drive, so...
That's true.
That's gonna be even less common.
Yep. This computer in front of me has no disk drive.
Wade burned... My younger brother burned me a CD for Christmas last year. The last time I burned someone else a CD was at least 2 or 3 years ago, probably. Not even that recently. I made a mixtape for someone, and I just gave them, like, a flash drive.
There you go.
Like, seriously, I did that.
Yeah.
Cost about as much as, like, you can get a cheap flash drive for about
bucks.
The same price as, like, a thing of discs. And then you won't
effort.
Have the other 40 that you're never going to use.
Right. And it's not going to go bad sitting in your car over the winter or something stupid.
Yeah, that too. Content, man. Optical media. What the hell?
It's gone.
The money I saved, and
I still okay. Depending on your internet, though, it's still okay for console games. the Halo, the Master Chief collection thing, is 65 gigs.
That's insane.
That's a lot of gigs.
I heard that only half of it is on the actual game disc that you have to download.
Yeah,
the other
some
half.
Of it comes, some of it comes down through the internet.
Right, yeah.
Oh, we're going to need bigger discs.
And it seems like it's mainly
usually
the online
patches.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Like multiplayer and some other things. All the campaign stuff seems to be on the discs.
A lot of people are complaining about Destiny because there's DLC content on the disc that's not accessible without paying for the DLC. And they're like, well, I bought this content already. I don't want to have to pay for it again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really how it works.
Yeah. And that's also happened with like every game ever for in the last like 3 or 4 years, if not more. And it may or may not be complete. Like some of it probably
often
is unfinished.
It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a handful of assets, but obviously, like they don't have like levels built around them or something like that. I'm sure it's a lot of cases like
unless
that.
Unless they do, then they're just really big scumbags.
Well, I mean, either way, it's kind of like
it's
software.
The business now.
Software is weird that way.
Yeah.
As just like an ephemeral product that the only real gate to like how much it costs to make is man hours.
Right.
It's not like
right.
It's not like you need steel or aluminum to make software.
Right.
It's just like how many humans does it take working full time?
You're not buying a physical product, you're just buying information. So.
Right. It's real weird. The world's strange.
Teeny bit of silicone.
Sure.
Just a bit.
So I mean like that's the price you're really paying, like the just when they figure out or they attempt to figure out how much something's gonna cost. Yeah, it's a lot of it's advertising and just like how many if we had make 10 new levels, how much manpower does it take to do that, and over what time period?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how much that depends.
Yeah,
give you some inside information on that. Not very wide scope though, only 2D stuff at the moment. I guess technically I've done 3D level design, but it was very simplistic because it was space.
Space.
Yeah. You know what's in space? Mostly nothing.
I know.
Mostly
that's nothing. Why we.
But also everything.
Exactly.
Yep.
We had asteroids,
really
we had satellites, we had cows, we had recycle bins. It was great.
Sounds like Earthworm Jim.
It was space quail, but close enough. Not really, but close enough.
Close enough.
Earthworm Jim. Man, that's a game.
But anyway, if you like me to finish up
go for
the rest of my week.
What else you got?
I've also been playing the Ruby and Sapphire demo.
I forgot that was out.
Yep. I would have gotten it like in the morning on the day that they had sent out the newsletter for Pokemon.com, because they gave you like ample time to do it this time, unlike the Smash demo,
because
Pokemon Company is at least a little nicer.
Yeah.
But it got forwarded to my junk folder on my email, didn't find it till like 5 o'clock that day. So I downloaded it and have been messing around with it a little bit. There's not much in the demo aside from like a free Glalie with a Mega Stone.
That's Glalie? What,
yeah.
I didn't know you had Omega.
Oh, you didn't see that?
No. Nope.
Glalie and Steelix.
I knew Steelix did.
They're getting
and
distributed by region through the demo.
Mm-hmm.
So America gets Glalie. Yeah. I'm pretty bummed out. He's
far
he's,
inferior
he's
to a Steelix.
He's basically a mouth. Like, he's just had, he's like a huge, it's just a jaw. Like, he gets a lower jaw.
It took Glalie's design and simplified it.
Oh,
he went
yeah.
from a floating head to just parts of a floating head.
I mean, he's still got, like, the face, but he's, like, just a giant drip.
Are all
like,
of his base stats still the same?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I know very little about Glalie because I hate it.
Yeah.
So I hate, like, a Glalie.
At least they improved Glalie by having Frostlass sort of related to it.
I guess.
I'm really hype for Mega Beedrill.
He's pretty cool.
He's fucking badass. They take the shittiest Pokemon they can find and...
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's all I want out of Megas. They don't necessarily need to make the good Pokemon better.
We don't need Mega
Cough,
Mewtwo.
Mega Blaziken.
Yeah, if they can elevate an existing Pokemon by giving it a good Mega.
Mega Sceptile.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Calling out Sceptile.
I love Sceptile. He's cute.
Mega Mawile.
Isn't it, like, actually kind of viable now?
Yeah. He got banned, I'm pretty sure.
Aww.
Rightfully.
So good he's banned.
Smogon has one by one banned every Mega until there weren't any left, basically.
No, like...
They're all broken.
First they came for the Mega Sceptile, and I did nothing.
Exactly.
But anyway, finish. Like, there isn't much in the demo. It's just kind of like, if you play, like boot it up and run through, like, the dumb little scenario, they have, like, a handful of other ones you can do. The main one is, like, the first one where you, like, catch by, like, just throwing a Pokeball
at
the Pokemon.
An old man teaches you how to throw
Pokeballs.
No,
you're just hanging out with Steven Stone the entire time.
Oh, nice.
And you're chilling in Moss Deep for whatever reason. All the doors are locked. I don't know why.
It's a weird game to choose for a demo, just because you...
I think it's just kind of like...
progression is the part like of the game showing. That matters.
That's true.
Because it's not... I mean, the only thing that really comes in this demo is the Megas. Like, I don't think you can get the Glalie or Steelix Megastone in the game.
So you're saying it's 2 years from now.
I'm not 100% sure.
Does it look and feel identical to X and Y, like engine-wise?
Yes.
Like even the menus and everything, or just like the world?
The menus are a little different. Like, you can't really get into too much of it, because you only have access to your Pokemon in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, like, the PokéNav, like, random, like, horrible, like, news filter thing is running on the bottom screen.
Cool.
That was kind of annoying. But, I mean, I'm assuming bases. There's more stuff. You can't make a secret base.
I guess I'll have to buy it.
Yep, it's hard.
The one thing that I mean, I kind of assumed this going in, but I have confirmation now, is that the running is what I wanted it to be in X and Y. There's no roller skates.
Aww.
You just have, like, full, like, actual running.
Oh,
and
okay.
Holding B, like, you hold B and you run.
Can you set it so that you auto run? Because I know you could do that in a lot of other
demo.
Games.
It's okay, only that was only in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. That
really?
Is literally the only game you could turn them on forever.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Turn
you
on
can.
The shoes.
Yeah.
You can lightly move the circle pad and you can sneak.
Cool.
I'm not 100% sure what that does.
I hope it's like Heart Gold and Soul Silver, where sneaking makes encounters less often.
I think it also like scares Pokemon out, because I've been like scaring skitties out of grass for Steven on multiple places for whatever reason. I don't know.
Sounds
the guy's
like a
weird.
Good time.
Yeah, okay.
Try to say that six
hey,
times fast.
Do you want
to
get in that grass and scare a skitty
That's
out for me?
Honestly, all it's been. It's just like, I have an adventure. Do you want to come with me? And I'm like, sure. So we hop on this like Latias or Latios and just fly to some island. And he's like, can you find Skitty for me here? So I just walk in the grass and start sneaking around, and it just pops out, and he's
Pokemon
like, you found
a
one.
Fetch
You're
quest
done.
MMO.
Yeah, it's like a point-and-click adventure game.
Yep.
I did see a Ace
find
Trainer Mori, and
picture.
I was very excited about that. I like the Ace Trainer designs. They have green hair, and I like green. So.
Are they still, I'm assuming this is also the case, they're just like portraits most of the time?
Yes.
Only special trainers get polygonal models?
Yes.
Ooh. I mean, I understand.
Sure.
They still look really nice, though. Mm-hmm. They were really well drawn in the first one, and they still look nice. Some of the Pokemon seem brighter, like, just color-wise. Some of them had kind of, like, gotten a little pale.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think Zubat was kind of, like, palish.
Sickly.
He's, like, very, like,
he's
blue
vibrant.
Now. Mm. Blue and purple.
Put a shiny new coat of paint on that
Zubat.
Oh,
yeah.
Zubat.
They painted all the Zubats in one.
Indeed.
There's someone in a factory just painting Zubats and letting them off into the caves.
How many trumpets are there?
There's so few songs, it's really hard to tell.
That could be a deal breaker.
I know.
I'm going to wait and see.
I wonder if they're going to do, like, with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, where they have, like, remixes of all the songs, but then you get, like, the
original
Game Boy Color sound thing or whatever,
yeah,
and just you can just
awesome.
Turn that on. I hope so.
But, like, Gold and Silver Originals, that was one of my favorite soundtracks for a Pokemon game. Probably my favorite for any Pokemon
game.
Oh,
yeah, it's good.
Other than the champion song in X and Y, which was awesome.
Yep.
I think I remember. I don't know. I haven't actually fought her too many times.
The footage of the
for shame
the champion level in the Wii U version of Smash
cool.
Brothers looks pretty cool.
I know it's going to have the song, so I'm stoked.
Yep,
we've got
and
it on Project
the music
right
options,
now.
And you can just turn it all the way up.
And I will
100% of the time. This is the music that plays here.
And I'll mod it and make it play on other levels.
I think that's mainly been my week, aside from a 3-hour binge after a 3-week hiatus of Tales that happened yesterday.
Sweet.
We've been so busy it was literally to a day 3 weeks since I had last played Tales.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played it for like 3 hours yesterday.
You're almost done with Symphony
2. I'm really, it's really wearing thin now. I'm in chapter 8, which is the last chapter. And I just want to get onto a game I haven't played yet, which is both of the two I have in the queue.
You have the power.
Mm-hmm. I want to finish it, though. If I don't finish it,
you're
I'm
trapped.
Never going to finish it.
The game has you
this
in its clutches.
This is literally my second playthrough of this game. I played it once on the Wii before, and I just wanted to play it again, because I'd only played it when it was released back in, like, what, 2008, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it was
that
eight.
Sounds close.
I think it came out, like, a week or so after City Folk, Animal Crossing City Folk for the week.
Nice. The one I didn't buy.
Yeah,
for good reason. It's not that great. It's probably the weakest one. I would say
didn't have fun
originally
with the microphone.
New Leaf are up there. Wild World was okay. I wasn't too keen on it. That was the DS one.
That game was just amazing because it was portable, though.
Oh, yeah,
the
definitely.
The idea that you could just have Animal Crossing in your pocket and play it like you would anyway, which is like flip it up.
It was still good.
Like, collect all your shit for 15 minutes and then just put it back.
I can weed when I'm on the go.
That's right.
It was just so much dirt, though. That was kind of what bummed me out.
Yeah, well, that was kind of...
And then they introduced you can destroy your grass by running at all, ever, and while in City Folk, and that has been kept... for whatever horrible reason, and at least it's been toned down, but it's still there, and it makes me sad. Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
I love you.
Yeah, doing it.
Organizing a
so busy.
Competitive Animal Crossing tournament in a couple weeks.
One of my favorite memories of New Leaf was when we were waiting for Man of Steel to start in the movie theater. We all literally just pull out our 3DSs and are in each other's towns while we're sitting in this movie theater. It was great. It was like the week it came out, I think. It was like super close to when it... like. Actually was finally released, and we were all just like, let's play Animal Crossing. I
Why
think there
not?
Was like a ton of us there, so we weren't all like playing in one town, but it was a good time. That was a lot of fun.
And then Man of Steel started.
Yep. Ruined everything.
We probably could have kept playing Animal Crossing through that movie.
The thing that is probably the most like a Dragon Ball Z movie.
Yeah. Either that or Matrix Revolution.
It took the place of Matrix Revolution, which was the previous winner. Mm-hmm.
Both far above the actual Dragon Ball movie.
Oh, God.
We don't need to talk about that.
No,
we recently, as a group, watched that Dragon Ball Z movie. That,
I was talking about a different one.
No, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. But was that even Battle of Gods, where Goku becomes a god and fights Set?
And gets super anime eyes.
Yep.
And then there's a fetus that gets superpowers and gives superpowers.
That was so weird.
It's... Don't do it.
Don't do it. Or do.
Oh, sure.
We did.
It's real weird.
Curiosity.
It was kind of funny how bad and weird it was. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely laughed a few dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Apparently everything that has ever happened in Dragon Ball happened in that movie.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's more or less.
I wasn't, literally keeping track, but I mean, could see it prominently on display that it's just literally, here's everything you ever would remember from something that is related to Dragon Ball.
Not enough Kaioken and Spirit Bomb.
That's true.
Actually, there wasn't a Spirit Bomb in the movie.
No, there wasn't.
No.
The one movie without a Spirit Bomb.
I don't think he even used a Kamehameha against an enemy.
Oh, he just threw it on the planet.
He did it to himself for training for
there
some
the
reason.
Token Kamehameha.
He hit himself in the back with it.
Literally, that's how far out of their way they went.
I'm going to have to put a Kamehameha scene in here somewhere.
We had just boardroom. Director slams his hands at the table. We need this guy.
We need Kamehameha.
Make it work.
Bulma getting backhanded. Make it happen.
Basically.
I forgot that was in there. I blacked that out.
You weren't the only one.
Yep. Then, like... Who is it? Goku or something was actually giving shit to Vegeta for, like, defending his woman's honor. They were, like, teasing him about it.
Something like that.
Someone struck your wife, man.
You're so sensitive.
God, Dragon Ball Z is so weird. Phil, do you have anything that you want to touch on? Or should we just roll straight in to talk about Dragon Ball shit?
We can talk about Dragon Ball.
Okay.
Yeah, just so you know, if you have no interest in the Dragon Ball Z card game, you can pretty much probably turn this podcast off at this point.
No, that's not true. We'll still do it. We'll still cover some news and stuff.
We might have a conversation about Tesla.
I suppose.
That's right.
There's a timestamp somewhere, if this was a YouTube video, where you could skip to
right, yeah.
the rest of the podcast.
I might put something in the notes or something, but like I said, we're not going to be too long-winded.
I suppose.
So anyway,
my night will be long-winded.
The reason that we're...
escape, I cannot.
We can do it at that end.
Yeah. No, don't really get to it now. Why not? So aside from recording the show... the reason we're all hanging out at Phil's place and other people will be joining us later in the night...
will double in size.
That's right. Is the Dragon Ball Z trading card game re-release came out over this past weekend. So if you want, like, a little more context on, like, the background of the game, you can go probably listen to our first episode we did at Gen Con where we just kind of filled in some of the gaps. But, I mean, basically it was just a thing that we all, like, were really into...
Back in the day when the original game
came out, and that's how most of us met each other and continued to hang out to this day. So if nothing else, it's earned me some awesome friends.
It's the game with the best community easily that I've ever played.
Like, yeah, definitely.
I've made more than half of my closest friends through Unity. So
that was also some of the best years.
And great times, like traveling around the country.
Sad every time I think about that, and I realize
the actual
it's not
tournaments
again.
Were not the highlight of the weekends. Mm-hmm. Like when we went traveling, it was just hanging out with friends.
Some good times.
Yeah, man, that stuff is just. Like you said, it's just weird because like the game itself is fun. I liked it then.
It was good enough.
I liked it. Yeah, exactly. It was good enough. I liked it then, and I still like it now. But it wasn't so remarkable. It was just everything else around it. It was like the people we were playing with directly, like locally, were awesome and fun to hang out with, and going out to stuff. Like just the act of going out to a different state or a different place and hanging out was kind of amazing to do when you were like 15 or 16 years old.
Eating
and then,
that dinner at the ballpark of in Arlington that was paid for by Score.
For
that
sure.
Sweet. That was awesome.
Yeah, Texas Rangers, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they paid for our hotel rooms and our flights.
Yeah, there was like a whole floor in that one, whatever hotel that was called.
Yeah.
And just people hanging out.
Destroying. That'll never happen again.
Good times, man. Yeah, that Invitational tournament, the one you're talking about where they paid for, like, basically all the people who had done well in organized play stuff to come down
quote
to Texas.
Unquote, all-stars.
One of the funnest weekends of my life.
Definitely.
So fun.
The biggest problem I have with it is Wade wouldn't really put any time into it, so he came with us and didn't. I think he dropped out of the tournament, like, 3 rounds in. And everyone was hanging out in the tournament room.
Right.
So, you know. If you weren't going to be there, you were going to be sitting in your hotel room, probably not doing anything.
Yep.
Also, we were all like 15 when this happened.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Everyone was real young.
16.
Pictures
maybe.
Of Adam are scary in that era.
I believe that.
He is literally like 12 years old.
Yeah, Wade was 11 or 12. Yeah.
A for real child.
I mean, you weren't that much more.
Second at St. Louis.
But just enough.
Also, I guess just
plus at that age, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah,
13
to 16. Playing against,
And if you're
just
talking about...
Even not outside of the tournament.
There were people older than us that played at that time, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
for sure.
We were not the oldest players at 15 and 16.
No, not even close. But, like, if you're just talking about visually... Like, I've been about this size since I was, like, 14 years old.
Right, yeah.
So, like, the change isn't as dramatic, whereas Adam is, like, a tiny little child in some of those pictures. Yeah. And then he grew a lot over the years between.
Now he dwarfs the other players.
That's right. Something else, man. So, yeah, we'll be opening a bunch of cards, and I'm sure that'll come up on and off as we continue doing the show.
Mm-hmm. And probably playing in tournaments every month
or
two.
Yeah.
Or maybe even more often.
Mm-hmm. If it gets too serious, we might even record side episodes at one point that are just Dragon Ball Z focused, and I'll mark those accordingly. So if you're not interested in that,
them.
You can avoid.
I may or may not be with those.
Sure.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Hoping to rekindle just a tiny bit of it.
Yep. No, this has also been the first thing in like maybe years that has actually gotten Adam out of the house.
That is true.
This is a second outing. Like,
this is actually a big year for me and this group because Smash Brothers is coming out too, and that's a thing I can be pumped about.
We were sitting there last night watching the Nintendo live stream or whatever, and Adam just walked to the room. He's like, "Oh man, we're
Smash Brothers."
Smash Brothers,
man. That's the two things to get me out of my house.
It's a miracle.
Smash Brothers can also keep you in your
house. That's true, but I usually play it with like a group of people, so group at is at my house.
Or are you just for glory?
It'll create a social interaction for me.
Right,
point.
Right.
Which somewhere. Is big for him.
Yeah.
Come out of the hole.
Me and his girlfriend Amanda have basically been his liaisons to the outside world for the better part of this year.
So this thing called Ebola is happening.
You won't know because you're
don't
living a hermit
it.
Lifestyle inside
which
of
which is good. Just stay here.
Yeah, sometimes
you are the safest.
Yeah, I won't. It'll be awesome if that ever actually does go down.
It'll be awesome.
just I'll be ready for it. It'll be just as I'm coming out and just.
I'm headed to the mountains. I'm out of here.
Yep.
Sometimes when you do look up from like
from
the monitor array from like working on stuff in your room, it's just like the look on your face says like, "What's the word from the outside?" Have the bombs dropped yet?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, basically.
All day.
Like metaphorically, all day. Absolutely.
Yeah. And some of them literally.
Mm-hmm. Yep, like I said, that sealed tournament or whatever, it literally is 2004 all over again.
It's crazy.
There are Dragon Ball Z cards out. There's war in Iraq.
Yeah, right, LeBron James back in Cleveland. Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire is the game I'm looking forward to right now.
Yep.
Going way back.
Everything is... as it was.
The world is cyclical.
Yep. But just a much shorter time span than I figured.
10 years, I mean...
It's not very long for history to repeat itself.
Hey man, it's the internet age.
That's right. It's going to get shorter and shorter until we're a singularity that constantly repeats itself.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm ready. In 10 more years, there will be another reboot of the Dragon Ball Z card game.
I don't doubt
and
it.
And another version of Ruby and Sapphire will be coming out.
And LeBron James will unretire to go back to Cleveland.
And yep. There'll be another war in Iraq.
He'll be announcing at Cleveland.
There you go. Or head coach. Or...
Uh-huh. There you go. Has that happened in the NBA? I think I had asked Adam about this once. If players ever transitioned like to managerial roles?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It happens all the time,
constantly. I would say the majority of people in management or coaching all used to be players. Some of them they don't even wait; they
that's
just
how,
go straight to it.
That's how I would think you would want it to go.
I would say it's good, but there's like an old guard feel to it, where if you weren't a player, people think you're you don't know what you're talking about, and if you are a player, you don't listen to other people about it. So it can be good and bad because some players. Will coach an old style that doesn't make sense anymore, or have, like, basically, especially for analytics, they'll completely ignore it. You'll be like, listen, these players are the most efficient from these spots, so please design your offense to make use of that, and they'll just be like, no, man, no threes.
No math.
We don't believe in that.
We don't want the math anymore.
Dunk at all. No math.
We don't believe in threes.
Basically. Byron Scott recently for the Lakers basically said, I don't believe in threes, and his team has been blown out in every preseason game.
Wonderful.
Which makes me happy.
On the other side of
that,
isn't that like the Rockets thing though? And they're not doing
the Rockets just
either.
Only shoot threes.
Yeah,
it's like if we can't get a dunk, we're shooting a three. Nothing in between. It's just a smart way to play.
Normal twos are for mortals. We don't do that here.
It's basically yeah. Either you're gonna take a mid range two. You might as well take 10 steps back and maybe get an extra point out of it.
There you go, roll those dice.
Yep,
that's really funny. Yeah, I don't think we want to talk about individual like. Cards or like deck types or anything from the card game, but just overall,
it's balanced.
Yeah,
and
the game.
Designed.
I say the game itself is probably in better shape than it's ever been because
yeah,
there have been
definitely.
Like first there was the original card game that came out in what 2001 or something.
Yeah, we're not talking about Anime Ham, right?
No, the
okay,
Score.
Yeah, just making sure.
Score Entertainment made a card game called Dragon Ball Z, and it was kind of a mess that eventually evolved into an okay game.
Inexplicably, like. The cards, the wordings were inconsistent between them, and things weren't really tested, and things were wildly overpowered or wildly underpowered.
Yep.
But this was before, you know, the internet was widely used for people to research for decks or anything.
For sure.
So every tournament there were big surprises and people coming out with decks and strategies that the designers had never intended or thought about.
Mm-hmm.
The yep. Wild West.
And then fast forward to 2004, I want to say, is when GT came out, or was it 2003?
It came out in 2004.
Okay, because, yeah, 2003 wrapped up, like,
March
Kid Buu came out, the last set of the original card game, and then...
Kid Buu came out in, like, November.
Mm-hmm. GT was kind of like, eh, just in general.
It was interesting from a mechanical standpoint. Nobody really cared about it, and it wasn't tested all that well. And they
right.
forced us to play a kind of bad format, too.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish, from like just some of the visual design aspects, I kind of wish they had kept some of the GT stuff where they had like a dedicated box where it told you how much attack damage an attack did and
right.
stuff like that. Like, whereas now it's still just all a bunch of text on a card. Like, they have a few more keywords, but ultimately it's still like you're just reading a string that could probably be represented by like one or two symbols instead.
Right.
So, that's kind of here or there. But yeah, and then after that game survived for like in that state for about a year or so.
Yep.
They released their first
reboot.
Re-release of a Dragon Ball Z card game.
And it was bad.
It was not good.
It wasn't really designed all that well. And then on top of that, after the first set, they didn't test it at all. So the sets after that were just an abomination of gaming. Like, they weren't fun or interesting or balanced. And
sure.
The and player base dwindled so quickly.
Yeah, and even if you took all of the other design elements out of it, at that point, I think
nobody
there was
cared.
Just some fatigue.
Definitely.
Like, that should have been around for so long, and... It was like the original game had been out, and then you started over with GT, and then basically 12 months later, you expected to start over with this other third new thing.
Yep.
So at a point, it was just kind of doomed to failure regardless of how well it may or may not have been made.
The premiere event for it only had like 60 people.
Yeah.
And if you go back 2 or 3 years before that, events had hundreds of people. So.
Yep.
Especially at Gen Con. Like, they were always 300 or 400 people at Gen Con.
Yeah, scary. Like, I didn't realize how big of a deal that was until, like, years later. Like, we were talking about that a little the other day, too. Like, it is amazing that that the Worlds in 2003 had 400 plus players in it. Like, that is an astronomical amount.
I think it was over 500.
Was it over 500?
Yeah, I think it was like 520 or something.
It's a lot of people.
And Dustin came in first. For anyone who didn't know,
he's a champion.
I'll shout out Kyle. He came in sixth.
It's pretty good.
I came in ninth.
Yep.
That's three people at the same table most nights. Came in the top 10 in a 520-person mm-hmm. tournament. It's not bad.
Pretty much everybody made top cut. Adam,
Brian made top cut.
I don't remember. Tournament? I don't remember either.
I'm not surprised Adam doesn't remember.
No, that was actually pretty. I think I was just too young.
Yeah, you were 13.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would have been 12, maybe 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 12 years old. You were 12 years old.
2003?
Yeah, I would have been 13 or 12.
At 13, maybe.
Yeah,
13.
No. How old?
Oh, yeah, I would have been 12 because that's in March-ish.
Gen Con is in August.
It's always been in August.
Okay, then I would have just turned 13.
There you go.
But you came in second at a major tournament that year, too.
Yeah. But that was...
I did well at a couple others.
I don't even think I really made my deck.
It doesn't matter.
It's all execution, man.
Yeah.
Say, now, in 2014, no one makes their decks. They just Google it.
The internet makes their deck, right?
The machine, the hive mind, generates a deck.
That's why it'll be interesting for the next few months, because there are no major tournaments, so people have nothing to net deck off of. People have to make their own decks, and there will be a lot of bad ones out there.
Mm-hmm. There aren't even that many cards in the set, though. Like,
yeah, it's like 250 or something.
I feel like you could cobble together the correct thing by trial and error, just like... Monkeys in a typewriter style. Especially since cards are restricted to certain deck types now. Like,
yeah.
You can't cross-pollinate different styles of cards.
They don't have to worry about colorless random Roshi or Goku Anger.
Yep. Ugh. So yeah, we'll see how that evolves, but I'm glad it's back, and this is probably the most polished, most well-implemented version of a Dragon Ball
Definitely,
Z card game
yeah.
that has ever been released. So that's pretty cool. If you have interest in...
Set 2 is already in planning. Already mostly designed, at least, the core of it.
If you are the type of person who might theoretically be interested in playing a physical card game, like, I would suggest maybe check it out. Buy a starter deck. They're like $10. Yep. It's not a...
And not just because the game is well-designed and pretty good, but like we said earlier, the community is so good. Like, everybody is friendly and funny and
mm-hmm.
not just horrible weirdos. Like,
yeah, the opposite of like when
what
we
you would expect. Yeah.
Sure. So like when the original game was popular.
Don't worry about
hand
it.
Gestures.
My
are
cat
happening.
Killed a mouse a moment
yeah,
ago.
Say, yep.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sure it's dead.
Cat violence happening.
I'm not completely sure.
It kind of looked like it was alive.
Yeah, I'll deal with it later.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
There's three cats on it right now. I'm sure one of them is going to kill it.
There you go. I don't have to worry about it.
I did not see it the first time. I didn't
That's
know
wrong.
You were
so
like
many
mentioning it.
That's
then
the
I
cats
saw
are for,
it.
Man. They're,
yeah.
they're earning their keep.
These are mousers.
Yeah. Anyway.
They come and set it like in front of your door.
Sometimes. Or, okay, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. I had a cat named Gigi. She once killed a raccoon. Like, we found and, like, mutilated it. We found, like, half of a raccoon in front of our door once.
This is probably
that
a
is
sick
ludicrous.
Raccoon, unless this was, like, a badass cat.
She was a badass cat, for sure.
She had, like, a bowie knife between her teeth or something? Jesus!
If you made me bet on that, Connor, I would never take the cat.
She did a lot of crazy things in her life. She was always an outdoor cat, and I've seen her, like, there'd be days where I'd look out my window from, you know, I live in the second story, and I'd just look out casually and see my cat crawling up, like, up the tree. Her hind claws never worked or developed properly, so she was, like, army crawling up the tree with her two front claws, and would just, like, stare at me for a second before continuing to whatever the hell she was doing.
Basically the Solid Snake of cats.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cat is hard as shit.
And she somehow gave birth to Action Cat, who looks like a bobcat, even though Gigi was not a bobcat.
She had the wild genes in her.
I guess. Anyway.
That's something else.
The more you know.
But yeah, Dragon Ball Z cards, card games in general.
Good.
It's badass good cats.
Mm-hmm. Plus, if you're good, you'll win some money.
Maybe.
That's what it's all about.
Cash money.
That's right. So I'm getting paid and fucking the other guy.
That's right. And I'm making posts on the internet about it.
Mm-hmm.
About how good I am and how bad other people are.
Yep. Say, that's the exact... That's kind of what other card games... have been, though.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about community, that was the thing that was immediately apparent. So when we were like kind of at the top of our game playing DBZ, Upper Deck made a card game called Versus System that was based off of comic book properties.
Yep.
And we would get invites to go play in some of their premiere events just because people were known for being pretty good at card games in general.
Mm-hmm.
And man, there was not a least fun environment to play in than playing Versus System, because it was just all gritted teeth, like, rules lawyering monsters.
Yep. You already put that card down!
Yep. Ah! Mm-hmm. Announce your phases!
Judge!
Did you tap that?
Yep.
So much fun.
So much fun.
Guys, you
That's what happens when you throw like $1 million at a tournament and
sure,
just assume that it'll go
like,
well.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. When no top 20 get like 10 grand or whatever.
Right.
Dumb
like,
prize system.
That was like a big card. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was
so much cash.
The booth and everything was just. Yeah.
It worked for a little while. Like, it got a lot of people to play it, but not a lot of casual players or collectors. So didn't sustain the game.
Yep, as it turns out. those people aren't going to spend enough money on your product to
make it float.
To make it float.
Not going to spend more than you're going to pay them for
right,
playing it.
Exactly. The math starts to not work out real quick, it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So, yeah, check it out. And it's fun to just have physical cards again. Because, like I said, my more recent experiences with card games have just been playing, like, Hearthstone every once in a while. And that's entertaining, but it's just... Man,
it's not the same.
Physical stuff is still cool sometimes. Like, the tactile feel of cardboard and shuffling and actually, like, peeling cards up to draw them off the top of a stack. Stuff's all fun in and of itself.
It's the same thing like with, like, board games.
You
could play, like, Dominion or Settlers of Catan or something online, and it won't be the same experience as sitting down at a table and actually playing it with your friends.
Yeah, like, man, I want to roll the dice. I want meeple.
Yep, I want to accidentally knock something over once or twice and be like, where's this road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should sell like digital versions of games where you can like accidentally dump Faygo on it. Like, somebody edges the iPad and it's just like, oh no! it's a river of root beer that has ruined this game!
You have to start over.
That's a microtransaction.
You have to download the app again. Right.
Fan the board.
Yeah.
That should be our... For
a
mobile apps.
Board
game simulators.
Keep that in your back pocket. Someday.
Doug made a DBZ app. I think some of the people at this table already knew about it, maybe.
Yeah, I think you told me about it.
It keeps track of your power stages and your opponent's power stages and both players' anger and what bracket they're in or something like that too.
I could see that being kind of useful on like an iPad or something like that, or like any kind of tablet where you can just have it like kind of like chess clock style, just like right there, and
nobody will have to ask questions about it all game.
Yeah, so it's instead of just like
I'm
having it on
constantly.
Your phone,
yeah,
it's just a bigger screen. Well, I guess some phones are large enough to
these days.
Yep.
Yeah,
a phone is six basically
plus.
A tablet.
Yep. Phones are big, but yeah, good stuff. Anything else, Phil? Just been going on anything interesting? Not really.
Do you want to talk about the Tesla thing?
Sure.
Briefly.
Yeah, go for it.
So I follow politics a bit. And
yeah, we were talking about this in the car on the way here, too. Go ahead, lead us in.
First, for anyone who doesn't know, we're from Michigan, so we're in the motor capital of the world, historically. It doesn't really mean that much anymore.
Sure.
Recently, you know, Tesla's been expanding. They're an electric car company that makes affordable, high-quality electric cars, and they wanted to open their own dealerships in states so that they could sell their cars, like, in person and have you actually test drive one and check it out. That's illegal here now. Yep. Our governor decided that you can't do that, presumably with heavy lobbying from Ford and GM.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that kind of thing just blows my mind and kind of drives me insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a lot of, like I said, we were kind of discussing it in the car on the way here, but it's kind of been a lot of the big auto companies and dealerships in general, like, they just don't want people to be able to sell, like, manufacturers
sell
to be able
directly.
To sell cars directly to
right. Which
end
is,
users.
It's interesting because, like, Ford and GM probably, it would be in their best interest to root for Tesla so that they don't have to go through dealerships anymore.
Yeah, and that's the conversation, like, I was talking to Adam about it. I was like, at some point, they must feel that it is more financially beneficial for them to not sell their own vehicles, but I can't imagine...
I feel like that is what
they think. I think the biggest reason that they would come to that conclusion is, like, they don't want to have to compete against Tesla, and this is the easy way of keeping them out.
Oh, that's definitely why that happened.
Yeah. Sure.
They just don't want the competition, but I'm saying...
I think that at this point, they should have their own dealerships. Like, I think that would
be more
financially
beneficial. Yeah, they probably should, but I don't know if they'd even, like, I'm still not convinced that they don't think that the marketing and the presence that the dealership gives them.
I wonder if it's almost just kind of like a more personable feel from a dealership, because, like, it's John Smith's Chevy's,
right.
And it's like,
yeah,
you can go and meet this
him.
It's not a company.
Oh,
like,
but I don't trust him.
It's not a big, like,
car dealership owner is the pinnacle of trust.
I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying I think that's their mentality,
yeah,
where it's not like, it's not the big corporate face. It's like, this man wants to sell you. It's a face. It's like, this guy right here. He's going to help you.
That's my opinion. It kind of just goes back to what Phil was talking about in basketball, too. I think it's just like
the
old school business people running it and not realizing that the future probably is more of a Tesla model. Like,
definitely.
And then you order it on the internet.
And then it's at your house.
Yep.
And you're done.
So, like, cutting out so much of that, like, middleman, like, fluff, and just kind of
like, it just
song and dance. Just like, oh, we have to do this because this is how we've always done it.
This is the law now.
That would be the guess.
Yeah. My stepdad works for Ford, so I'll ask him about it, like, in a management position, so I'll see if
he's... I mean, my dad does, too, but I'm honestly not sure. He's more on the engineering side. Like, more of an engineering manager, because, I mean, his major was, like, mechanical engineering, and then he went for his MBA.
Yeah.
So he'll still have some insight.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how much, but... I mean, I could ask.
I mean, I bet he said it in meetings and stuff where they talk about some of that stuff.
I don't know. Most of his meetings are in China, so there's that.
Well...
Because he's more on the manufacturing side and, like, planning out. And, like, he's gone to Mexico, like, on business trips to talk with
people. It could even be, like, weird structural things, like, set in place in Michigan. Because isn't that, like, why the Tesla isn't allowed, like, somehow...
That's why we don't have public transportation.
Like, dealership union or something.
Basically, yeah. Like, it's against the law, and they would need... everyone to decide that it's in the best interest of the economy and everything.
Yeah.
And
by economy, you mean companies.
Right.
No one cares
but
about Tesla in Michigan.
Right, exactly. That's it. They're like, we don't want another car company here. That's it.
Sure.
It's the least, like, actually capitalistic or
democratic
thing
that's
possible.
Part of the unfortunate part about a lot of this, like, when this stuff goes on, it's like, capitalism has many, like, drawbacks and pluses.
Sure does.
But, I mean, idea that at this point... the same people who kind of rally against regulation of any kind are also for basically just supporting business models just because they already exist.
Right. Or regulation that keep out new companies.
Sure. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. The presumption that because a company currently exists and makes a product, it should continue to exist just because it has reached a certain size or scope
seems to be a flawed
concept.
Bailouts, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, that just brings back to that auto bailout. Like, what even was that? Like, 4 or 5 years ago?
I think it was a little
more. It was 2008, so...
Was
yeah,
it?
6 years ago.
It all blurs together eventually.
Yeah, when everything was on fire.
You know, the recession.
Oh, yeah.
Houses and whatnot.
Big banks.
Games
waving.
It's Gabe.
Walking in the door.
Hello, podcast.
We're talking about politics.
Politics cast.
Let me get my hat.
Now I want one.
Yep. Let me tell you a thing or two about a thing or two.
Just have a hat bag of just all your different hats.
Like that character from 30 Rock.
Yeah, basically.
Who I'm embarrassed that I don't remember his name.
Oh,
someone has a little tag in it that says press. Like, he's told microphones in front of people and demand answers.
Knock on doors. I expect results.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much other stuff the big three have cut out of Michigan. Because
it's
still my opinion that public transportation
is not a thing.
Oh, that's...
You're right.
And that's not even...
lied to, though.
That's not even just Michigan.
But it's worse here.
It's Michigan in particular, because we were at the heart of it, but it's everywhere. Like,
yeah.
There is a one-to-one correlation for, like, trolley cars and things like that disappearing and the rise of individual automobiles.
Yeah,
just the
right
plants, and
turns out, competition isn't good. Because that's the stuff that is the worst. Like, if you are actually competing on a fair playing field, like, if the thing you are doing is simply making a product and putting it out there and suggesting it, as opposed to trying to manipulate the system to get every advantage you can and deny your competition every advantage they can. Like, things would be so much better.
At the top with three companies controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
It's just going to get more and more like that, though.
Everything's going to end up being, like, every single sector you can think of will just have two companies at the top that are actually friends and don't really compete.
Mm-hmm. Especially with everything moving to, like, intellectual property instead of real property might actually be worse for that in a lot of ways.
We have a lot of bad laws about intellectual property in this country.
Thanks.
And the ones that have the lawyers are going to be the biggest ones. And they're just going to sue and consolidate,
So you see how much intellectual property Disney's sitting on right now because of all their consumptions, and that's never going away. They're owning that for all time now. That's
for some reason. Recently, I was talking to someone about Marvel, and they asked me like what my favorite Disney thing was, and I was like Marvel, and they were like, "What?
Taking it back? What do you
excuse
mean?
Me?" And then I reminded them that they also own Star Wars, and just a million other things.
If you had a childhood, it belongs to Disney.
Sure, they're by the Lego company at some point or something.
That isn't technically American though, because that's like Swedish.
Yeah, it is.
I guess, but I wonder how different that is. Like, just like, I wonder how the regulations would mesh. Like. Mm-hmm.
I know
European
a lot of the better off countries in Europe have regulation problems too.
Sure.
No, I just meant like just the two systems merging. Yeah. Like, I wonder what that would even be.
I don't think
like.
that's probably a low priority acquisition for them. Like Disney's not into packaged goods directly, I feel. Mm. Like I bet they license out all the like toys and shit that they make. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, actually making physical products.
Yeah, Lego is, like, a brand now, though.
Lego's
that's true.
Yeah. Lego is, like, a brand of its own.
I wonder what Lego... How much would Lego go for? Wonder what, in the world where Minecraft goes for $2.5
billion,
what's a Lego worth? Yeah, probably.
the company?
Yeah.
More than that.
I think it would be worth a lot less than Minecraft.
Really? Lego, the company? I totally disagree with that.
Like, I wonder how the math,
at least $10 billion, probably, for Lego company, if not, way more than that.
Kind of like how we were talking with, like, the disc stuff. There's literally, like, no physical overhead for making more Minecraft.
Right, yeah.
There is,
people
like...
dump a lot of money into it.
Factories upon factories of Lego manufacturing, because they need to make, like, billions of these bricks.
And they have to deal with, like, regulations because they deal with plastic so much, and because of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And
all the chemicals that go along with that. Mm.
Don't lick Lego pieces.
Don't.
Over time, I like Lego pieces less and less.
Aww.
Seen too many documentaries about floating islands of Lego in the ocean and whatnot.
I would make a Lego island. Like, if you just, like, start...
You're a part of the problem.
Specifically. Not, like, just dump it, but literally build an island out of Lego.
Look, man, all these glaciers are going to be gone. The polar bears have to float around on something.
That's right, that's right. We're doing you a favor.
Made of tiny little mini fig heads. Hundreds of them. There are cat things happening.
Is it?
I'm guessing that mouse is in this room.
A cat, like, ran. I'm assuming it was a cat. It was very big.
It was a cat.
Like,
I'm assuming it was a cat.
They're hunting a possum now in
the
house.
You don't even know.
I don't know what lives in this house. You're right.
Oh my god.
You are only a fifth of the residents.
I've seen things.
Can't unsee them.
Nope.
Speaking of Legos, maybe the mouse is hiding in our Legos that are still built over there. Brian's fortress is pretty spacious.
My god.
Plus, it's very secure.
Exactly.
Are these all the cats? Three cats?
Yeah, we just got three now.
The three remaining cats?
Probably not a good
thing. So yeah, that Tesla thing still does suck, though.
Most of them.
It's just kind of, you know...
It's indicative of a lot of the problems with, I think, the country and
It's not unexpected, but it's still disappointing.
That's the saddest part. Like, it is exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
At least Ohio didn't ban them like a lot of people thought they would.
Yeah, we'll get around to it. Give me time.
Yeah. Well, is it going to go that way, or are we going to eventually unban them?
That would be the hope. That
if they get big enough, like, you can't hold out forever.
As time continues to go forward, I just keep hoping that the pendulum will eventually swing back.
Right,
things
will
start to get better, as opposed to kind of still be either maintaining or becoming slowly worse.
Sooner or later, we'll hit rock bottom.
Theoretically, we're improving ethically in this country.
Define ethically.
Nah, that's not for today.
That's a 2-hour conversation minimum.
We already kind of had that, so we can...
A little bit. But yeah, good to bring up, and just... I hope that
the more you know.
I hope that Tesla continues to, like, stick around and thrive.
Fine. If I had,
just
like, a bunch of extra money, I'd buy Tesla stock right now.
Yeah, and if I were in the position, like, if I just had money... and didn't like just had more than I could use, I would totally buy a Tesla vehicle.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope they get to. I'm not even sure if this is the thing that they're targeting, but I would hope that someday they are able to release like a $20,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what
they're working on
for.
It. Yeah, they've already got like a $30,000. Yeah,
that's in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's like cool. I think 2016 or 17 or something.
Because yeah. Awesome. At that point, that kind of vehicle is totally attainable. Mm-hmm. And then I will probably purchase one someday.
That's the upside. Right. Right now, Tesla is like just this niche weird thing. It's all about the future when they release that.
Who knows what's going to happen 10 years from now.
Future!
Or just like Tesla OG is going to get bought out and stomped into the ground by his competition. Yeah. We'll see.
Thomas Edison rises from the grave.
You will not succeed.
Electrocutes an elephant and then goes back to sleep.
Uses the Tesla car to electrocute an elephant.
Hits an elephant with the Tesla car.
I think Tesla moved a lot of the automakers like towards that, though. I mean, I think their technology is still superior, but I mean...
Sure, Elon Musk opened up their patent portfolio, too, just in the... I think the presumption behind that is just the hopes that stuff becomes more standardized.
Well, yeah, so what he wants there is he probably wants the battery, the capacity on the battery factories.
Right, yeah.
It's like huge.
It's kind of the, he's kind of working like the Apple supply chain problem backwards, where like Apple directly builds supply chain for things it needs, like flash memory or different types of glass to continue making their products. He wants to get other auto companies to create the supply chain to make
take it.
Those cars.
I mean, they're building the like gigawatt. They always talk about it. He's built a couple, put up a couple of factories, but I think they're going to run into problems there.
Mm-hmm. It'll be exciting to watch. Elon Musk's a cool dude, man. I wish I was a billionaire, Elon Musk style, just building electric cars
cool
and
things.
Space vehicles.
Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do in your free time?
Yeah, exactly.
Twitter. Some of the tech billionaires, man, that's like one of the best things about America, kind of.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
you don't get that in some of the European
countries.
If you're
going to have consolidated wealth, like, you want it in the hands of someone who has a vision, not just someone who wants to get more money.
Right,
like,
which is most billionaires.
Yeah.
Which is probably most of them.
Like,
the ones you don't hear about either.
Two more
just
islands
well.
And, like, another yacht, like... That doesn't really benefit anyone, and at some point, I doubt those people even enjoy them more. They're just continuing to make the list of things that they own longer.
Yep.
But, like, if you're going to have those kind of resources and use them to try to make the world a better place, or at least a more interesting one, even, like, I'll take inventive, at the very least, over just, like, maintaining a larger pile of money. Like, good on him, man. Elon Musk.
I was only 78th on the top 100, and I gotta move up.
That's right. Number
that's
one is scary.
What it is.
Yeah, that is what it is.
It is.
It's sad, too, because there's so many lives. And, like,
yeah, a lot at stake. The world, guys. Man, she just got heavy. Video game!
And I was about to start talking about people dying on Mars to some capitalist Mars mission that's not going to work.
Yep.
We could talk about
that reality show thing that's never going to get off the ground.
That MIT did a study and they were like, you know, based on the information you've provided us for your plan so far, everyone will die in 9 months if you send them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you sure you're not just talking about like a Destiny raid or something like that?
It's basically the same thing, but
yeah.
If it were Destiny, they would get there and they'd be able to breathe the air because the Traveler terraforms
that's
Mars.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd get no loot.
And they wouldn't get any loot.
Yeah.
I've
heard that question posed before. If you would want to, like, would you want to be the first person to go to Mars, like, knowing that you're going to die on Mars?
Hell no.
I agree.
Even if there weren't the problems that there are right now with the mission where you're not going to live, like, a long, healthy life, if I couldn't come back, I don't think I'd want to do it.
Yeah, there's enough.
Although it would be tempting.
I'm not going to be able to fill my life with enough things that I want to do on Earth.
And there's not much you can do. I was one of the pioneers. And that's it. That's all I have to do.
Because that's literally what it's going to be like. It'll be the Old West where you pile up your space wagon and then somebody gets dysentery.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, it's going to be like the first generation two on Mars are going to be really rough.
Yep.
Like, it's not going to be a good time. It's
somewhere between rough and annihilation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once we start settling there, that's when the aliens are coming out. I'm going to call it. Like,
they're going to find the Traveler.
Exactly.
And then the darkness.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The light.
Get that light, man. Gotta use those ghosts.
Better...
Shove those ghosts into computers.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny.
Gotta hold X
now.
Yep.
Hold X and stand in front of this console.
Do it.
Oh, man. Yep. Video games. building the future.
Mm-hmm.
The world of tomorrow today.
The car of tomorrow today.
You can experience it.
We're not going to live on Mars because we're all going to live in computers in 100 years. Mm-hmm. So why go anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Be one framed picture. The last thing that the last active human does, they put up a framed picture called the human race. It's just servers going out.
Stuff does get really scary.
Dust.
Every new baby is just another like motherboard, just like clipped onto the mess.
Yep.
Everyone gets their own processor.
Yeah, so it's like someone has the task manager up. It's just a new little like just shows a the RAM pings a little bit. It's like, oh, there's a new kid.
There's
so
a clan
cute.
Of people who are just maintaining these servers.
It's people's civic duty to wake up and serve for a year maintaining.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
And then
as
they
opposed
go,
to
they
like
rotate.
Your year of military service, you just do IT for the rest of the people in the can.
Yeah. And that's how civilization will end to some small cult destroying everyone else during their IT session.
Yep.
Or it's the IT people. They get like X amount of people out at once and just start like hammering servers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some idiot gets drunk, types RM star, deletes the directory from the
bottom.
Oh
man, that was bad.
Then he's alone.
I am the last man, and I am responsible for the deletion of all of mankind. Twilight.
At least I have my books.
I give that like 3 years until
Brave.
That's actually a movie.
Mm. Yep. Man,
they just had that. That's the crappy movie that always is. Actualization, self-actualization movie.
Oh,
I know what you're
that's
talking about. The Johnny Depp one.
Yeah
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Is it
yeah.
even out? Saw that.
There was one that came out like
it
a year
out.
Ago.
Yeah,
and I heard it was
went.
Terrible.
Yeah, it looked kind of terrible.
I did not see it
from the trailer, so I was like, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, bad movies aside, video games.
Yep. Adam, have you been doing anything that you of note that you want to discuss? Or you just chilling.
What we talked about a little bit.
Living life.
A little less shut in you.
Yeah.
Easy.
That's okay. I have been too. I've just been playing Destiny all the time. So.
Right. Hopefully that will continue.
not the shut in.
No, not the shut in part. The part where you're rejoining society.
Yeah, I only go out to play DBZ. So.
Mm-hmm. And then yeah, I got out a tiny bit, but not too much. A lot of it was what Lorraine filled in earlier. Like we've just been working on stuff. The beginning of this week was very rough. I got like
stressful.
9 hours of sleep probably over the course of 3 days.
Part of that was kind of your fault.
Well, I mean, it was self-imposed for sure. Like
I just meant like the Sunday part.
Well,
that
yeah.
was all you.
I mean, that's what I meant. Like, I planned my time. Like in my head, I knew that was a possibility, and then that's what ended up happening.
I kind of assumed it would be.
But we made it.
No, second you told me you were coming out here, and then you ended up staying out here at, like, 11 o'clock, I was like, yeah, he's not getting home till like, tomorrow.
Sure. That wasn't even the night I lost sleep, really, though. Like, that night I actually got an okay amount of sleep. It was just, like, Monday, Tuesday, like...
I guess.
Just staying up trying to fix stuff and, like, implement more things before we ship those builds.
Which but, we did. We did it on time.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Mm-hmm. And as far as updates for, like, our weird stuff we're working on goes, we're also going to be showing off games at a local... anime/nerd convention called Ooh. YumaCon.
Oh, yeah.
So if for some reason you find yourself in the Metro Detroit area next weekend, you could come check us out. We'll be in the video game room just hanging out, doing whatever.
Bring your best cosplay outfit.
Yep, dress like something.
There's going to be so much. It's literally mainly just cosplay because it is an anime convention.
More people cosplay than don't cosplay.
Yes.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
That's probably
in fact, there was a giant...
Cool. I still like...
Yeah, it's
cosplay
cool.
viewing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know a few of my friends who are going, and they've apparently put like a lot of them are doing like a group kind of League of Legend. I think
cool.
Like there's they have like a few people who are like just people they play. I think in League itself, so that'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to see them. If before they're all 4 days, I'll almost definitely see them.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a big like urgent posting thing on the front of the YumaCon page we looked at the other day about. Dress code stuff inside the Renaissance Center that, like, apparently you're not allowed to wear masks inside the building.
Interesting.
So it's, like, going to ruin
yeah.
people's costumes or something like
yeah.
that.
That's,
I want covered
that's
faces.
I'm sure they're really upset about that.
Well, if you put in that much that was, work into the thing.
No, I know. It wasn't
right,
being
right. Yeah, luckily it covers same. Enough space anyway. So, like, between being outside and, like, it bleeds into Kobo and there's, like,
yeah.
infinite room in there.
Right,
so, like,
right.
I think people will be fine.
Or you can wear it some of the time and then just, like...
I think
yeah.
it's just in the Renaissance
Center. It's literally in the Renaissance Center specifically. Like, come in, you gotta... take off headgear or whatever you got.
Mm-hmm.
It covers, like, your entire face.
So paint your face instead.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. Body paint.
My whole costume is body paint.
I don't think I've seen a real person do that. That would be something.
That would be something. I don't know if I'd necessarily want to see that.
Doug painted his face like a Mudkip for Halloween like 6 years ago. It was awesome. I don't think anyone understood what it was either.
That is kind of discreet if it's just really the weird face.
The person doesn't look very much like the Mudkip naturally.
Yeah. Unless he had like the fin, like a fin mohawk on his head.
I don't
head.
Think he did.
Aw. That would have been kind of
funny. He definitely had some orange in there though.
Yeah, just like cheeks. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Little gills or whatever those are.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, so other than working on stuff for that, I've played a handful of video games since we last talked about stuff. The three things that I really got involved in, which I hopefully will be able to continue, like, after we kind of get done with the next weekend, started playing Valiant Hearts, The Great War. Phil, have you seen anything about this game before?
Mm-mm.
It's really cool. I like it a lot. So it's basically, it's made by Ubisoft, and it uses their 2D... Ubi Art Engine, which is the thing that they've made like the modern Rayman games in, and stuff,
okay,
stuff
yeah,
like that.
Very cool.
And it's based in covers the events of World War I with like adorable little cartoon like.
it's incredible. Sweet.
Yeah,
it really
it's
is.
Really something else because it is at the same time as it is just like beautifully painted and it just
it looks so
amazing
nice.
And like all the characters are kind of like a little squat and stubby and cute. It covers all of the atrocities and horrors that you would expect to encounter in a thing about World
Man.
War One.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, because you like the characters are still like little cute and stuff, but everything that like the things that you would expect to happen in that game happen. Like one of the early levels
Damn.
Is like mustard gas attacks happen for the first time, and it's just like it's totally insane that you're like a tiny little 2D character like walking around like this battlefield where there's just like noxious fumes everywhere.
People. Falling over and just dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how it happens. Like you, like there's kind of a tiny little cutscene before the level starts where like your character goes up and some other ones do. You see other characters just kind of march forward into the mist and then they just like collapse, like
mm-hmm.
in silhouette behind a screen of fog.
You're just like, well, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's I like that type.
It looks really beautiful and it's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like just watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like from a fundamental gameplay perspective, it's like a direct control point and click adventure game.
Okay.
So you're not like moving a cursor around to touch different environment, you're manipulating a character.
Right.
But all the stuff you're doing is pretty much like puzzle game, like puzzle solving.
Blank.
You have to shut off the mustard, like the gas like or whatever that's being pumped out, and you have to like divert the pipes and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time
like
it's like combine item A with item B. Like
right,
you
right.
play as a couple of characters. There's one who's like she's studying to be a veterinarian,
mm-hmm.
and like you end up doing medical stuff. And
yeah,
there's like time
yep,
to mini games involved with
the type
that
of stuff that happened.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly. There's one where you're like a farmer who
yeah,
got called
he, like,
into the
French
war.
Or something like
yeah,
that?
He's French.
He's like an old
she was
man.
The girl, the nurse is like Belgian or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember what her country of origin was.
The older man who's kind of been like more of the main character. Like
mm-hmm.
he at least he started the game. His son-in-law was German and got deported, and you end up seeing him as on the opposite side, like
yeah, fighting for the
you're kind of like
German
helping
forces.
Each other, like
right,
on the
right.
lam because like he sees you, you get kidnapped at one point, and he kind of like helps you out, and like it's just crazy,
real interactions.
And then there's
wartime.
Mm-hmm.
there's an African American man who actually is from America, like he came
yeah,
over to like fight for France.
He's an American. Who was in France when the fighting started and enlisted in the French military.
Yeah.
Huh.
And throughout the... the basic gameplay will be that. Like, you'll kind of be in an environment, and there will be, like, progression halted somewhere where, like, you can't advance until you kind of, like, figure out how to get a guard to move or, like, how to break a wall or something like that. And you
right.
kind of have to work through the puzzles. And then in each of the levels, there's also little collectibles just randomly hidden that you can find, and they have... attached to each one is, like, a historical blurb about, like, basically the thing you're doing. So, like, when the mustard
that's
gas
cool.
level,
that's very cool.
you find, like, a urine-soaked rag,
oh,
which
boy.
Is, which was literally the first effective way
mask.
To survive,
yeah.
like, a gas attack, was
right.
to put
yeah.
urine-soaked cloth over your face to survive.
This'll help.
Basically, and then, like, the
as
first...
As long as it's yours, I think that's better than just... the communal guy just peeing in a bunch of clothes.
But if you don't need to pee, then you gotta get somebody to help.
Yeah, the first, like, trench warfare section you get into, you'll find, like, a sock, which was basically, like, dry socks were one of the highest commodities soldiers could get, because they would just, like...
Trench foot.
As you're stuck
yep.
in trenches for, like, weeks or months, like, if you... Basically, if your feet got soggy, you think that could ultimately lead to something
amputation.
That would take your legs away.
Yeah.
Trench
yep.
foot. That's what it was called.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. So I want to finish it. I would guess I'm like a third of the way through. Maybe
probably
a little less.
How many hours have you put into it? Or how long is it?
Probably four or so.
Okay.
Give or take, yeah. Because I think, because I know you still play as, you either play as also the daughter and the son-in-law of the main, like the first guy.
I haven't played as him yet.
There's like a list of like, just like characters in the menu, and you kind of go through like journal entries of them. And they're portraits along with the three others that we talked about.
Yeah, the three characters that you mentioned that you saw me playing as, those are the only characters I played as so far.
Okay, so not the... I wonder if they're just... The other two are just there for, like...
Yeah, I'm not sure if there are any more playable characters in the game, because now all those three are together in the story.
Oh, okay.
So, like, their stories have converged, and they're basically, like, traveling as a party now.
Close to that, with those weird, like, car mini-games.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, those were pretty random, too.
Like, orchestrate, like... Just dodging stuff, like while you're in this car, that's just, it's just like a screen.
Vigoroth's delivery
and you're just
service.
Like moving back, like
yeah, it's
moving
almost
the car
like,
back and forth.
Like
across.
If Guitar Hero was about avoiding landmines,
because
it's like so it's a musical mini game where you're in a vehicle and you can move it like it's
horizontally.
The sprite is basically the car's front is facing towards you as if it were moving towards the screen, and you can move it left and right. And as you continue to advance from like off screen, towards the back of the screen, it'll bring like landmines or other vehicles or stuff that come up, and you just have
to
dodge around them.
So when I said Vigoroth's delivery service, I was sort of almost a little right.
Yep.
Surprising.
But yeah, it's really cool. I definitely want
to
finish it.
It's all set to classical music, too.
Perfect.
Like it's timed, like the explosions and other things happening. It's pretty crazy.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then I ended up. I got a PlayStation TV and was fussing around with that a little bit. And it's cool, but also exactly as you would expect.
Uh-huh.
Like, I got it to start playing a little more Persona 4, like, on a television, and to play PS4 games from my room without having to move my console, which is, like, the first worldliest problem that I can think of I've had in the last couple months.
Yep.
But
longer than that, probably. Like, that's a problem we've all had since we were 8.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play this game in that room, but my console's in that room.
Yep, and that works as you would expect.
Like, why I like handheld so
the,
much.
Uh-huh. Having both of them on the wired network, it's totally fine, like lag-wise, as far as inputs go. It definitely looks jankier. Like you still see like pressure effects and stuff sometimes, like in the video.
Tech on a TV,
right?
Sure. No, I mean just like streaming PS4 content.
Well, yeah, I mean I'm assuming if you had the Vita on your wireless network. So the only time you've really done that was at my house.
Mm-hmm.
So it was over at...
Yeah, and you wouldn't notice the resolution, like you're saying. Yeah, you don't notice the resolution drop as much, like when you're remote playing to an actual Vita console, because that screen is so much smaller and like
true.
So much lower resolution than like a full like 720p or 1080p TV.
I suppose.
Yeah, but it works, and it's a cool little thing. If you either want it for that, like to stream your PS4 over to like a different television without having to move it, or you don't have a Vita and you want like a portal to play a bunch of cool like smaller indie games on the television.
It works with the PlayStation Store is there too, so you don't need all the physical. Because I mean, granted, most Vita games don't have physical releases. Very few of them do nowadays, even. So you don't necessarily need the carts. So you can even just buy the download and just link your like PlayStation Network account to it and get all of your compatible, because not everything is compatible, downloads to play on there. It's mainly touch stuff, indoor stuff
that just
hasn't been ported.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't play Tearaway on there because you need the touchpad and like the front and rear touch stuff, It's mainly stuff
future.
Like that.
Or like Frobisher Says, which is like a weird, it's kind of like a WarioWare-esque minigame set on Vita, but it uses like every single part of the thing, like both touchpads and like the camera even sometimes, so like obviously none of that stuff works.
Drop your Wiimo.
Yep. But yeah, it's really cool. And for, like, I think it's $100 retail price. I paid slightly less than that with just random credit I had at Best Buy. What on earth? Adam is pulling his...
Adam's taken off.
I was trying to eat.
I don't think
Adam's
that's going to work,
hungry.
But don't worry. We'll,
we're pretty much
done.
Yeah,
we're
going to
wind down. We'll touch on a little bit of new stuff. And then,
please
like,
don't start eating
out.
With the microphones on.
But,
please don't.
And the last thing I played... was Fantasia Music Evolved. I played that for like an hour, and it's pretty fun. I'll talk about that more later, because I'll definitely be playing more of it. But so the latest Harmonix rhythm game. Those are the people that brought you Guitar Hero originally and Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lorraine said, it's basically like Dance Central for paraplegics.
Damn. Sorry, but Rock Band and Harmonix, I mean, Rock Band and Guitar Hero are the same company?
Originally, the studio that made the original Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2 went on to make the Rock Band games.
Someone bought, like, Guitar Hero.
Yeah, Activision bought...
Because, of course, they
bought Red Octane, the company that technically had the Guitar Hero brand, but Harmonix was the company that made the Guitar Hero games. Red Octane was the company that was responsible for the hardware, and they technically published those, I think. Which is why they had the properties, as opposed to them being owned by Harmonix.
Like MTV Viacom or something.
And then, yeah, Harmonix was owned by MTV for a while, until they got sold. When the bottom fell out of instrument-based music games.
Man, that was very fun for a while.
Yep. Yeah, man, we'll still have to bust that out, stuff out again, like in the not-too-distant future.
I've done it in the last 6 months.
Still a good time.
Depends on your company, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty fun. But like I said, it is basically like it's hand dancing. Like they have cues for like either like different kind of swipes of like directly across or kind of at an angle to like to the beat of the music, or like you kind of punch at your TV by thrusting your fist out forward, and sometimes you have to like either hold it there for a set amount of time or like kind of trace a pattern. And it's basically
kind of
that.
Like the arrhythmia on Kinect.
Yeah,
if
a
I had
little
to
bit.
Describe,
that's kind of cool. Actually,
if I had to like compare it to another game, it's like because you are playing to like songs, like there's like Queen and
yeah, I played Bohemian Rhapsody and like there's some and there's classical music in there, and then like Royals came on, so you got Lord if that's a thing that you need in your life, it's there. But it is a lot of fun. Like the tutorial does take like. I basically, in the, like, the hour to hour and a half I spent with it, I basically got through the tutorial, where it kind of just walks you through step by step, basically each type of motion that the game accepts. And then after you get through that, it opens up a little bit more, where you can kind of pick the songs you want to play, and just kind of, then you do just sort of like Rock Band or Guitar Hero with a little more of a story. There's a narrator, and he goes on about, like, the magical magical properties of music and some nonsense. Because ultimately, it's a Disney-licensed thing.
Of course it is.
Fantasia. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, Yen said in Random Displaced Dance Central Girl.
Oh, yeah. Yep, so, I mean, it's just, like...
Those are, like...
It has a story that's a lot of that. It's just, like, we're combining the magic of, like... visual artistry and music together, which, like, when the game is actually functioning, it basically just means there's a lot of particle effects. Because that's, like, for the most part, that's what's on screen while you're doing this. It's, like, usually a pretty dark background that is technically filled, like, with some polygonal environment.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, like, environmental...
But you can kind of barely see it, and then, like, the thing that you see that it is kind of reacting to you are, like, the little notes that you hit. They basically just, like, burst with particles every time you hit them. Mm-hmm. There's kind of just, like, a floating, like, miasma of, like, shiny dust in the background that looks kind of cool, and it just kind of follows the flow of your movements.
Yeah.
To just kind of, like, give you a sense of...
It's more there for, like
the swiping and shifting
than,
and all
like,
this kind of nonsense.
All that graphics.
Yeah, it's fun. And that's pretty much what we've been up to. So I'm going to scroll down... There really isn't that much news, but...
We covered a lot.
Yeah,
there,
we talked about, like, Smash Brothers stuff for the most part. Is there anything anyone else wanted to add about, like, the stuff they announced?
I'm just glad that Nintendo is recognizing that DLC is a thing that people want.
For sure.
I mean, they've already kind of started, like, Mario Kart,
Hyrule
Warriors,
Mario Golf,
now,
too.
But
for some reason, everybody was worried that Smash Brothers, because they've never done that before, they might be hesitant to...
They haven't done it before
for
anything, though.
Yeah.
So I guess they're really starting
How long was since Brawl? It's been a long time.
At least 6 years.
It was 2008.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
We've been talking about 2008 a lot today.
Sure have.
So much stuff happened.
The year of our Lord.
Super Smash Brothers Brawl. Put the bottom out of the economy.
Yes.
Big Mario. Too big to fail.
That game really sold out. Got bailed out too.
All these mortgage-backed securities that Luigi was invested in did not plan out like he would
have
desired.
Pay for that haunted house somehow.
Yeah, man.
Win it in a
lottery. I would have given him that mortgage.
Mushroom futures are way down, it turns out. Buy higher flowers, sell mushrooms.
Anyway, your real money's in
let's
Star
write
man.
This fan fiction later.
So yeah, there's a bunch of Smash Brothers Wii U news. The biggest thing was like 8 players. Lorraine had mentioned earlier that the level generator looks cool because you can literally just like draw on the touchscreen and make a level to fight in. And there's
the most important thing is Mewtwo.
Yeah, exactly. Mewtwo.
No.
Mewtwo is in the game.
Ridley is not playable. 100% confirmed. He's a boss hazard. Like a stage hazard. It's great.
I'm not buying it.
I died when I saw that. I was just laughing.
You could be your ally.
Yeah, you can, like, if you hit him enough, player. He'll, like, start fighting for you.
And
I don't like that mechanic.
You get a point for killing him.
You do.
That's really weird.
Yep. And even if he's on your team, like, if he starts fighting for you and you kill him, you still get a point.
The ultimate backstab.
Yep. Yeah, and they announced a million other weird things. Like, it's got a little board game in it, which might be fun, but I don't think it's going to get, like, longevity play-wise.
It'll be interesting. Give it a shot.
And we'll talk about that more when that game's out, like
or at least
three-ish weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's...
It is imminent, so it's going to be
it's
here before you know
like
it.
It's
on Black Friday, right?
Than a month.
It's like the Friday. It's the
before,
week before.
Yeah,
is
it's the week before. 21st. Same
it's not,
day
it is not Black Friday. It is the Friday before Black Friday. It is not the actual day.
I'm going to have an existential crisis over whether or not to buy it a week before Black Friday.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be $20 cheaper if I wait a week.
Ruby and Sapphire come out.
So you take it back. You just keep that receipt.
Yeah, there you go. I can play it for a week
and then return
get rid of it and get a new one.
Yep.
I gotta get a PS4 that week, too.
Anyway. Smash.
So I can play Destiny in slightly higher definition.
But Smash Brothers.
Well, I'm gonna get both.
Yeah. Don't worry.
He didn't say he was picking between a PS4 and Smash Brothers.
Right,
he said he was picking between Smash Brothers a week earlier or Smash Brothers a week later.
Yeah. There's only so much time though in Smash
Brothers. That's true.
You should take it all.
Yeah.
I still, like I said earlier, I still don't even have the 3DS one. Although I've played like 60 online matches.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to play it. I was like, no.
It's
I was
so
excited
good.
For like a second, then I was like,
I
no.
still like it.
You cannot play Smash on
the
3DS.
Totally can.
It's definitely hard to get used to the control stick being so different than like a GameCube controller joystick and the controls in general. Like watching Brian play. I swear, every time he does anything, I feel like he's going to break his 3DS in half. That thing is just not built to handle that kind of aggression. And I've seen
so
some pictures.
That's why it's better,
and
I'm not very, like, aggressive.
Dainty.
I know, I'm just lady.
Yes.
Like, gentle
proper.
So am I, actually. I ain't destroying nothing.
Nope.
Although when this podcast's over, I'm going to help my cats kill a mouse. So I'm not that lady.
That mouse is hopefully already dead.
I don't think
it is, based on their behavior right now.
Uh-huh.
We will find out.
It was like, it was by the bottom of the stairs over in the hall, and then I saw it get either pushed or ran down the hall, and now they're all in here.
It wound up behind...
I didn't even know that that's what they were trying to get.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw it, but I can almost guarantee that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I never saw it enter this room.
He has been over there
but
for
I
a
can't
long time.
Imagine that's not what they're doing. They're never like this. They're just kind of either
they're usually in a coma. Or
elsewhere.
Licking your legs that while too. You're trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I have two other things that I put down here for news. Neither of them is huge, but they're both kind of interesting, I guess. The first one more so, speaking of Nintendo stuff, Nintendo is seeking a U.S. hardware architect for quote-unquote future platforms.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you're flying. Right? You're putting throwing your hat into the ring.
Yeah, don't bother.
So where can they find you on LinkedIn?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that sounds good.
It's a huge step for
I'm going to say that getting Western influence on whatever the next Nintendo piece of hardware ends up being will probably benefit them in the long run.
Definitely. I know I've said before, I feel like as a company they would be better off if Nintendo of America was the one making decisions instead of Nintendo of Japan.
At least a few more of the decisions.
I would say the majority of the decisions.
They don't need
all of them.
Yeah, they don't need to take away absolutely everything, but a lot of the bigger ones,
right.
maybe.
I feel like they have a better understanding of the Nintendo globally than
the
Japan does. The
larger market.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because, I mean, one of the things that I had heard, like just an example, like Bravely Default, they're like, we made this for the Japanese audience. We didn't think anyone else would like it. It's
that's
a phenomenon
insane.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I found out about it, I was like, I'm buying that game day one.
I just don't
one.
Think they understand that they're not the only ones who like that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, the stuff that they're into, like, guess what? Nearly the entire world likes it, too. Like, you need to, like... I know they've had a past of being very centralized, like...
A
focused.
Past?
Well,
I got
everything back from today is the past.
Okay, there you go.
This second right now is the only
the future.
Present. No, future is
don't
over
get
there.
Philosophical with me.
But, they're generally, like, culturally, they've been very centralized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's... definitely playing a part in Nintendo presently
mm-hmm.
and futurely. past. Yeah.
I wonder if that'll, like,
all over.
These two things aren't necessarily related, and I don't have any idea if one would impact the other at this point, but I wonder if, like, Nintendo's future hardware plans have anything to do with IBM shifting their business platforms. Because I was reading earlier this week that they're getting out of manufacturing microchips, like, they're spinning that off into another company, or they just, like, sold it to someone or something.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure Nintendo hardware still runs on, like, weird IBM PowerPC chips.
I'm pretty sure it does.
It's definitely not Intel-style x86 architecture, because 360 and, or, excuse me, Xbox One and PS4 just moved to that platform this generation.
Right.
So.
Which means we can guarantee at least 4 or 5 more years before Nintendo considers it.
Sure. Something like that.
Unless they, like, do shift, so, like...
So, yeah, I wonder if that would affect their supply chain at all, like, if... that being a slightly different corporate entity, affect like their ability to get silicon at a certain price or something. Who can say? I do not have the inside business knowledge or technical expertise to know one way or the other.
Why do we keep you around? Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know these things.
What are you going for? I know. It's just. Yep. And the other thing I have on here for news, which doesn't affect me in any way, but it was, I just put it on there because why not? Square announced a Final Fantasy XIV Heaven's Ward expansion pack. So that game, there's more of that game coming.
I mean, it is an MMO, so that doesn't really surprise me.
I played it a little bit in, like, May, I think. I played it for a month. And as a person who played WoW for probably way too long, I think 14 was a better game. But, I mean, if you're playing any MMO, you should play it for whatever community you're playing with.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, that's the problem. Even if you make... the best MMO on the market at this point
if
in 2014.
Your friends are
playing WoW. In 2014, it lives in a post WoW MMO environment.
Right.
So
I'm still vaguely kind of interested in 14.
I think you should try it at some point.
I don't really want to pay the subscription fee.
I think when you buy it, you get a month for free. So
that's cool.
It's like, and it's not very expensive either.
Do you know if you need, like, because I'd probably either play it on the PS3 or the PS4.
Okay.
Because I just like consoles better than, like, PC gaming. That's just me. And I can't help better than consoles.
I would try to talk you out of it, but go on.
Do you know if you need, probably not for the PS3, but do you need it for the, do you need Plus for the PS4?
I don't actually know.
Almost definitely, but I can't say for sure.
Because if that was the case, I would not play it on the PS4.
Right, yeah.
And probably just play it on the PS3.
You should have PS Plus anyway, because all the cool games you get.
But I don't like just getting games that I'm not going to play. I already have like a million games on my 3DS that
enough.
I haven't really touched.
That makes sense. And although you could get the Silent Hill demo.
Nope.
Yep. Play some PT.
Nope.
Just
nope. Nope.
Someday.
So much nope.
Someday.
All
will happen.
Nope. It will never happen.
Yep. So that's what
Speaking of scary video games, I watched a really interesting video today. Does anyone know about Five Nights at Freddy's?
Nope.
Never heard of it.
It's this like kind of weird like jump scary game that was like really big on the internet for like a day or two. It seems like, but then like I mean. Once you see a video on it, you've basically seen all that you really need to see about that game.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the, again, it's my YouTube shout out for this podcast, because I seem to do one like every single week, is the channel Game Theorist, which all of their stuff is good, like any of the Game Theorist videos, because it's basically like analyzing in depth to like an insane point to various aspects, like how fast Sonic actually is, and like... Found that out.
Hedgehogs are small.
How much like diamond armor in Minecraft is actually worth? Like the actual like physical way of like putting memories into DNA, like in Assassin's Creed. It's like videos like that, and they're really interesting.
That's actually really awesome.
You should really check it out. It's a lot of fun. But he did one about just like a day or two ago about Five Nights at Freddy's, and it was like just seeing like where he got to the conclusion of like what the story actually is, because there is a story like hidden in there that you might not see if you just played it on a whim. So I recommend, like, it's freaky, like it's probably scarier than the actual game is, because it's, I mean, it's all jump scares. That's all it is. You're a security guard at a like
jump scares work.
I mean, but that's like, that's it. It's not like PT, like that kind of just pure terror.
That had some jump scares too, but
no, that's
but
all.
Yeah, it was
all,
also
because you're just you're a security guard at like a Chuck E. Cheese like place, and you're working there for 5 nights.
Okay,
and the animatronics like are alive, and they're coming to kill you. Basically,
it's like that episode of Gravity Falls.
A little bit. And you basically you're just in the room, like the security like central
booth or, yeah.
You've got like a it looks like maybe like a tablet or a computer screen or something where you can switch the cameras to see where they are.
Oh man.
And then you have like control of the doors. Uh-huh. These two big like garage doors that are like on this room to keep them out if they get too close, because I mean they'll just kill you if they show up.
So it's like Night Trap with animatronic animals.
Kind of.
Wonderful. Sign me up.
I'll give them my money.
But you know, like, if you need any information, I think you should see that video. His it's, I think the channel is Matt Pat, because he's Matthew
Matt
Patrick.
Pat.
That's his full name, is Matthew Patrick.
Easy to remember.
Yeah. But I think the channel is just called Matt Pat. Or if you look up like Game Theory. Or Game Theory. Yeah, I think it's Game Theory. It's like the name of the show. And just see that video. Like, it was very interesting. It's like his kind of like most serious like video there is, which is kind of surprising given the topic.
Reading gamers like opinions and theories about games and game lore is one of my favorite things.
It's not even so much just lore, but it's just like scientifically analyzing aspects of video games, and it's really interesting. Like time travel and Chrono Trigger, like that was like his first video.
Cool.
What's wrong with the Star Fox barrel roll, which is not a barrel roll?
No, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers. Peppy, curse you.
Yep.
Anyway,
you
that was my shout out. Kind of
go.
Long.
I was going to say this before your shout out started. Fro now plays World of Warcraft for the first time as of like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Even though I played for like 3 years and tried to get him to and he wouldn't, now he's playing.
It's an interesting. Like, jumping on World of Warcraft for the first time in 2014 is an interesting position
weird.
To be in. There are not many people who can say that that is a thing that will happen to them, I'm assuming.
Mine will be later if I ever play World of Warcraft, which I have never done in my life.
You play 14 instead, just because you like the Final Fantasy world.
Yeah,
it's
right
probably
out.
The only MMO.
Unless, like, you have a bunch of friends playing
World of Warcraft does not have chocobos. Mm-hmm. I can confirm
true.
This.
Or
unless
I could just, like, get my, like, will to... to change over my Vita back to my other PSN account to play PSO2, which I've been kind of considering, but I still love it. It's still a good game. It's just, it's a lot of work because it is in Japanese, and I'd have to, like, basically relearn everything, because it has been close to a year-ish since I was playing
it. At this point, you should totally just try to download the PC version and just apply the English patch that, like...
But I like playing it on my Vita. I really liked playing it on my Vita. There's no way to patch the Vita. Sega's never gonna release it here because they're terrible. They make me sad.
No, it's because we're terrible.
They hurt me on the inside. That's because all the people who would be playing it are playing the Japanese
one. Sega definitely blames the victim. This is your fault.
They're pulling a Capcom?
Something like that.
You killed Mega Man Legends 3.
Yeah.
You did.
I know.
It was Phil.
I did it. You're welcome, everyone.
Did you see what that Mega Man was wearing? He had it coming.
Do you see that helmet?
That hair?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I was just kidding. Mega Man Legends Mega Man didn't wear a helmet.
He could.
He did. You could equip one.
Could
it was an optional. Yeah. If you found a helmet, you could equip one.
Okay.
Yep. So
I still like that he shows up in Smash.
That's news.
I mean, Mega Man X in Smash is my favorite. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly.
I just think it's fun. I'm glad he got included.
They give him the
Somebody
same touch
remembers.
Of flavor that they gave to their own characters. Someone's knocking on
it's
my
like
door.
Cats
people are here. Phil's going
to
go let some humans in. We're going to wind this down. I'm just going to run through the list of stuff that came out like either in the past couple weeks or next week. Minecraft for PS Vita is out. That's still Minecraft. Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Came out on PS3, 360, and PC. The Evil Within, which is Shinji Mikami's new, like the Resident Evil 4 creator. That's his new survival horror thing. That's on like everything. You can check that out now. We already talked about Fantasia. That came out, and I will continue to have more impressions about that.
You did write Xbox on there.
That's one of that's. I had to settle on an abbreviation, so that's just the one I used. For the
it's
Xbox
360
One.
And X-Bone.
X-Bone is the correct name.
I know.
There is no other
I
name.
Kind of
it was going to be that or XB1, and that's just that was fun.
That's
so.
An extra syllable. It kind of looks
yeah, exactly.
X-Bone rolls right off the
tongue.
It
does. It really
yep,
does.
Tell
anyway.
Me about it.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
The Legend of Korra game came out. You can download that now for your platform of choice. It sounds like it sucks, but... I might check it out at some point anyway to confirm
bucks.
For myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bayonetta 2 came out today. We're recording this on Friday, October 24th.
Woo!
So you can go grab that.
I've heard pretty good things about that. I've never played either.
I want to try it. I liked the original game a lot, and the reviews have been like sterling for the second one, so I definitely want to check it out.
Usually a good time.
Mm-hmm. Sunset Overdrive's coming out next week. That's an Xbox exclusive. I think it's the only game I've seen in like 6 months or more that's only come out on the Xbox One and nothing else. So that's the new Insomniac thing from the makers of Ratchet & Clank and a bunch of other stuff. And then finally, Costume Quest 2 just came out on PlayStation platforms. So that's just a cool little... the original game was a fun little like turn-based RPG based on... kids trick-or-treating, and they would, like, become the costumes that they were wearing in
like
battle.
Like that one episode of Buffy.
Something like that. Yeah. I like that first game a lot. Like, the gameplay was a little dull. Like, it just didn't evolve as much as I would have liked it to from the beginning of that game to the end of it. And from what people have been saying, it sounds like the second one's like that a lot, too. But that game has a lot of personality, and, like, their presentation is a lot of fun in that game. So yeah, other people are here. We don't really have that much other stuff to talk about anyway.
Probably
so I think we're gonna wrap this up for
podcast@cubicorngames.com.
That's the email address.
Send us stuff, maybe.
If you have opinions, you can let us know there.
Send us art.
Yep, like yes. I said,
that's the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Send us art.
That was
thank
Fro,
you, Fro.
By
Fro's,
the way,
Fro's
making his first appearance in quite some time.
Very end of the show. Like I said, we're going to be at YumaCon this weekend, so somehow, if you're in Detroit, you can totally come see us and say hi. Other than that, that's going to do it for the show. So for myself, Adam, Philip, and Lorraine...
How did you raise your hand?
Adam's present, apparently.
Here.
This has been the Cubicorn Games Podcast. We will see you guys later.
Goodbye.